Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And we have a special guest today. He'll be speaking at the Memphis Touchdown Club tonight. But he is an SEC Network college football analyst, but that's not all he does. Alabama alum, all SEC performer. He's an NFL safety in the Saints Hall of Fame. He is Roman Harper on X at Harp41. Roman, how are you doing? Appreciate you carving out some time.
I'm doing well, man. I just finished playing in a Will Greer's charity golf tournament. Now I'm headed to the airport to get to Memphis for tonight, man. It's going to be a great day.
Yes, sir. If you need any recommendations, anything when you come to Memphis, are you familiar with the area? If you need any recommendations, I'm here right now.
All right. I will. Where should I go and get some food late night?
Yeah.
Just a good little vibe or something. Where should I go?
Yeah.
That's about what I'm on.
Yeah. So when it comes to late night eats, listen, I've been in the house lately. I don't know about late night eats. I think we just sort of have the normal fare. It's just fast food. I know you don't want to enjoy all that or get into all that, but we have obviously we have good barbecue. If you want to try out Central Barbecue, that's there for you. Rendezvous downtown. I don't know where you're staying. Elwood Shack is a hit. They got some good subs for you. Some really good barbecue.
Right.
The ribs, some of the best in town. Late night eats. If you're on Beale, I would suggest if you want a little bit of barbecue, Blue City Cafe. That's open late night.
All right.
So
That's plenty.
Okay. You're not going to be able to stop at all of them, I understand.
No, I don't plan on it.
Yeah, I got you. All right, now, sort of getting into it, I want to start with the big news we got at the end of last week, and that was that the house settlement went through. Now, I know you played college football in the early 2000s. I played college football from 2013 to 2017. A little bit later, I still didn't have that NIL, that revenue sharing at my disposal. What do you think about where we are at in the game, how we're treating our student athletes, and where we're headed?
Well, the first thing is I would be very careful about using the word revenue sharing, because is it truly revenue sharing or they're just giving a piece of the revenue? I think until you actually sit down and negotiate where the players have some kind of representation in the same room, I think we're always just going to end up right back where we've been at.
Right.
This is something that is just appeasing for the crowd. It says that we got something done, but it doesn't ultimately keep the NCAA and college football players out of courtrooms that are going to sue each other down the road. I don't think it does that. And so, I mean, for right now, it's something that they said they got done. I don't think it's the end at all. It's just really hard to get the answer to the question right when you don't have the whole equation in front of you.
Yeah, and I will say, I'm glad you put it that way. Don't call it revenue sharing until you have a CBA, until they meet at the table, until they unionize, until they have something like that, because it really just is a piece of the pie. It's about, what, 20% of general revenue that athletic departments bring in? I think in most major sports in North America, we're talking about 49 or 50%. So it's a way smaller slice of the pie.
I agree. And so that's why I said the wording in it matters. And so, yes, they get some of the revenue, but it's not actually revenue sharing as much as, you know, I mean, you can call it revenue sharing, but it's not completely where it should be or possibly where it could be. I actually think it would be better for everybody to get it done correctly, because some of these numbers that some of these high school kids are getting are way overinflated. They don't deserve those numbers. They're only getting them because people are just guessing.
Right.
And so if you were able to do it, the numbers for a lot of these players would go down, because you would ultimately try and do it the same way the NFL does with a salary cap, where I would kind of, you know, the quarterback gets a certain percentage, different players would be able to get certain percentages. And when you're the best of the best, you would naturally push that number up naturally. But it will be done, and we'd all be able to see it. And the most important part of it is that the transparency piece is what's really, truly lacking in this sport.
Mm-hmm.
And where college football is, college athletics is right now, is that I don't know when a kid says, hey, I got $500,000 on the table, you got to match it or I'm leaving. You don't know if that's true or not.
Right, right.
So you're going in the blind to everything. The kid's lying. It was exactly what happened with Nico Iamaleava, where you overvalue yourself because you truly are just negotiating with yourself. And at some point, more teams, more universities will take the Tennessee approach where, you know what, I'm going to have to take a hard pass. And it may hurt right now, but it's something that I got to do because it's for the betterment of all, which is what it's supposed to be at the end of the day.
All right, now I have one more off-field question, then we'll actually get to talking real ball, because that's what I like to do. But when we talk about where we're headed, I think a lot of people have this vision in mind of football breaking off. Greg Sankey at SEC Spring Meeting says he has people in his ear, presidents, you know, athletic directors, saying, why are we still with the NCAA? But there's this idea that football's going to break off. You may have the Big Ten or the Power Four structure play their own championship. Is that where you think we will head in 10 to 15 years or in due time? Or do you think it's going to be some different semblance of college football, and we keep some type of the culture that we've built over the past, I don't know, 20 to 30 to 40 years?
Yeah, I don't know. Man, it's so hard to guess, because just 5 years ago, it wasn't even close to this. And so this thing is moving way faster than everybody's planned. I've talked to some power brokers, and not just at Alabama, but other big schools, and they don't see this model lasting more than 5 to 8 years. And so they're spending now because they want to be relevant for when the big shift does happen. And so at this point, I don't think you forecast 10 years. I think that's just too much unknown. I think what you try and do is stay within your pocket. Let's forecast out another 5 years. And let's try and spend as much as we can, so when the big moves happen, where it is a, you know, a big swoop where everybody's going to come collect guys and this, that, and the other, where I don't feel like I missed out. I do feel like I'm at least able to say, hey, we need to be at the table. That's why you're going to see a team like Texas Tech spend godly amount of money
right.
The next couple of years, because it's all about, can they get on TV enough to say, hey, you know, don't be like the Pac-12 and leave us out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened. If, you know, the Giants was supposed to hold all these conferences together until they didn't. The next thing you know, everybody was all about self-preservation. And so you want to be in self-preservation mode, but you got to have enough to where I'm still full or I'm relevant in the next 4 to 5 years, where now teams and TV contracts and where the money is that, hey, we still want them to be a part of what we're doing.
Yep. All right, now get into some SEC ball. You love your Tide. What do you think about your Tide going into next season? We have some questions at quarterback, although I do think the offensive coordinator coming in, Ryan Grubb from the Seahawks, although he was with Kalen DeBoer when he was at Washington getting to that national championship, I think that's going to really sort of hone in the offense as opposed to Nick Sheridan last year with Jalen Milroe. But what do you think about this Alabama team? Still thought of very highly in the SEC. I think they're tied with two other schools in Texas and Georgia when it comes to win totals in Vegas. How do you feel about this year's team and their chances to get to the college football playoff?
I actually like this year's team. For me, offensively, they got to find ways to run the football with the running back. They were able to run it with Jalen Milroe, but I don't want my quarterback, who I want to throw the football 25 times a game, to be my leading rusher as well. I just don't think that bodes well for you in a long-term game plan. And so they got to be more effective. You're too good, too big up front, and you recruit too well to not all of a sudden be able to push guys around and not be able to run the football effectively from the running back position. And then defensively, they have to be able to continue to do the little things right all the time. Are you in man? Are you in zone? Where are your eyes at on a consistent basis? And then once that happens, are we creating turnovers at a high rate? And are they being good in the red zone defensively? So I expect Alabama to take a step forward this year. I'm actually expecting them. I'll say it now. I got them in the SEC championship versus Texas. I think Georgia is the team for me that will be a lot like what Alabama looked like last year. Probably not in the same way, but, you know, that right on the cusp, that 9-win team regular season, maybe 10, but maybe they're just on the outside looking in because they lost the wrong game. I totally see Georgia being that team. It also got better for Georgia because Nico Iamaliava transferred from Tennessee. I thought that week 3 game was going to be huge to really set the tone for the SEC this year. It lost a little bit of luster with the transfer in, but we'll have to see. Tennessee, I thought, was a team that's going to be a little bit better. I think now they're actually a little bit worse going into this season. So it's going to be some question marks, but it's all about when and where you play games at in the SEC. Georgia has a fairly nice schedule as far as the teams that they play, the really tough teams that we see on paper. All of those games are at home. So that is an advantage for Georgia.
Yeah, so you bring up Tennessee, and I'm glad you went there because one of my favorite plays of your entire career, 05, 3-3, late in the game, you're playing Tennessee, you get the knockaway and the touchback from Corey Anderson, the big fullback. You were known as a hard hitter, no doubt, and I had to throw that out there for Tennessee fans in my audience to experience that dread again. But you were known as a hard hitter, and, you know, with the rules in college football and in the NFL, you have targeting in college football, no head-to-head contact. You have to be careful about that. In the NFL, obviously, we've moved that direction. No hip drop tackles. There's so many different things. If we drop – and I always stand by this with all eras of any sport. I think talent transcends. Talent finds a way to adjust. But how much harder would your job be today as a NFL or a college football safety if I dropped you into 2025?
So they implemented the targeting in the strike zone when I was playing in the NFL. So, you know, they implemented it in the NFL first. Then all the other, you know, lower tier places have to catch up. And so I learned how to do it. But it's also like you have a helmet gear on for a reason. And so right. I was always taught, so you got to see what you hit. So keeping your head up, not ducking your head. And just because I hit you with my face mask doesn't mean it's targeted. It's I just saw what I hit. So it's a lot of talking out of both sides of their mouths. And also the other thing that I struggle with is that, you know, I hate the targeting rule in college. And I thought the targeting rule at first, it was good because they implemented to change the behavior. I think the behavior has changed. And so the penalty should not – there's no other sport or penalty in any sport that you penalize the amateurs more than you do the professionals
sure.
who are doing the same thing. And so when you kick these young kids out, I mean, maybe give them two of them a game or maybe where it's egregious or something like that. But I hate that you remove these young men from the game for one play where, you know, maybe the wide receiver ducks. We ever thought about that? Because that happens all the time.
Right.
Because the first thing a wide receiver or a running back or a quarterback does when they see somebody flashing at them is lower their head. So the target moves. And so do you want to just blowing guys' knees out? Well, professionally, they didn't love that. So that's why you don't see the targeting as much as the NFL as they do in college where they just throw the flag because somebody got hit hard. And so I would get kicked out of a couple games in college that they wouldn't be able to get me in my pocket. So at the end of the day, I'd be like, you know, bump it. I don't care.
Well, in the NFL, they are fining the hell out of these guys. Handing down suspensions. It's wild.
Not on the offensive side either. Not on the offensive side either. This is just a defensive situation where just the defensive players are getting hit in their pockets. I hate that, but, you know, I had to live through it. And you adjust. And, you know, you're 80,000 light a year, probably.
Yeah. Now, there was a play in your NFL career. You're still playing for the Saints. It was 2011. I heard you talk with Steve Smith about this. You hit Steve Smith late after he scores a touchdown and he takes off on you guys. What what happened with that? And it was kind of funny to see, like, you didn't face any punishment. Did they even throw a flag on that? I think it was Malcolm Jenkins who had to come in, and then there was a big fracas, people got ejected and all that. But you started it, but you didn't really get punished for it. What was that, and what did you see on that play?
Well, I mean, we were zero blitz. Malcolm should have hugged Russ, the running back, faster. Then Cole Ball wouldn't have got off, but it's okay. So, I mean, I was covering Greg Olsen all the way on the other side, and I just heard the crowd because Greg was doing his runoff thing, trying to act like he was getting the ball, which he wasn't. And so I turned, and I saw Steve, and I just went to running. Then he kind of started hot-dogging a little bit, which
which he does.
Back on it, it wasn't even that bad. And I was just like, I ran. And by the time I got there, he already scored. In my mind, I was like, bro, I didn't run over here for nothing. So I just hit him anyways. And right. I bombed him. I stood there because I thought he was going to fight me. And so, but he didn't fight me. He was like, oh, I don't want to get a flag. So, you know, we actually never talked about this until we were on his podcast. And we're friends now. And so he thought I hit him because he had said a joke to Jonathan Vilma earlier. I didn't even know that. So he was like, oh, I thought I kind of deserved it. Me, I just hit him because I ran so far. I was like, bro, I didn't come over for nothing. And then two old linemen got in my face. The referee was right there, and I knew they couldn't beat me up because, you know, it's on the field. So I swung and hit the one on the right side. Then the ref broke it up. Then that's when Smitty came. It's funny because the cameras didn't catch any of that. But they caught, you know, by the time Malcolm came back, Malcolm had grabbed the old lineman, then Brandon LaFell hit Malcolm, and then that's when you saw Steve, like, jump on top of him. And then that's when the cameras came back. So I was on the outside because the ref grabbed me because I was the initial starter of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad. And the best part about that whole story is that the very next play, Malcolm Jenkins blocked the extra point.
Right.
And you couldn't, like, scoop and score at that time. So he just scooped it, and then he spiked it and looked at their sideline. And Sean Payton comes over to the sideline where the DBs are at. Me and Malcolm are sitting on the bench together. And he's like, hey, man, you guys got to calm it down, all right? You guys are going to cost us. And he's looking at Malcolm and not me. And Malcolm's like, are you talking to me or are you talking to Roman?
Right.
Malcolm, I'm talking to you. You just spiked that ball, cost us 15 yards. He's like, Roman just hit a guy 5 yards in the end zone. And you're telling me to calm down right now? And I was just like, dude, my bad, bro. That's me. That's on me, dog.
Well, yeah, you had that vet love, though, from Sean, I'm sure, at that point.
It was what it was.
A little benefit of the doubt.
Didn't care about that part of it, and we still won the game, so it was all good.
And I think my favorite part of that story, you end up with the Panthers 4 years later in 2015 on that Super Bowl run. Did you have to hear about that from guys that were stayed over, from the fans, everything like that?
Yeah, so when I first signed here in 2014, the fans all called in, and they hated me. They hated me. And eventually I just kind of kept playing, man. And I'll never forget Ryan Khalil came up to me in the locker room after about 3 or 4 weeks during the season, not preseason, 3 or 4 weeks into this regular season. He was just like, man, you know what, Roman? You're like a good guy. So for years, I walked around and I hated you. I thought you were a dirty player. I thought you were always starting stuff. He's like, but Jen, you're like just a really great guy. And I was like, you know what, Ryan, man, I appreciate that. That was ultimately like the ultimate sign of respect. And then we went on to have some really, really good 2 years, actually.
Yeah, and how cool was it to see Cam Newton in that 2015 season do what he did, MVP, get to the Super Bowl, all that?
Well, I knew it was going to be a good year when we played Houston early on, and he got hit on a quarterback draw in the red zone and, like, got flipped and landed it. And I was just like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That was something I'd never seen before. And you know what? I got to be honest. Watching Cam Newton become Cam Newton at that time, it was really cool for me to see because I actually thought you could only win games playing quarterback one way with Drew Brees. And
right.
So I saw Cam Newton be a completely different quarterback and still have success. And we didn't have all these top-tier grade A wide receivers. They were just really good players. And guys bought in. And Cam Newton's one of these people that literally he makes everybody else on the team better when he's on. And so being able to be a part of that, to see that kind of happen, it was just really cool to be a part of it. And to see, you know, the Panthers become who they are and have their best year statistically in their organization. Be there for it. You know, I'd won 13 games in a row in New Orleans, and we talked about has anybody like, what's the most anybody ever won in a row? Because we were like 4-5-0 at the time. And I think Peanut Tillman had went 8-0 in Chicago.
Right.
And I was like, I've been 13. He was saying, Cam was there, was just like, I want to beat that record. I'm like, dude, go ahead, because I'll be right here to do it. So,
right.
And we started out 14-0. Everybody was dabbing. We were a hot team. And it's just really, really kind of cool to see how it all kind of played out, you know?
No doubt. Finished 15-1, made a Super Bowl run. That was really cool to see. But you know what, Roman? I appreciate you carving out some time. Have fun tonight at the Memphis Touchdown Club, and hopefully we can catch up soon. Enjoyed this.
Man, thank you so much, man. Anytime I can come on, I'd love to come on and talk ball, man. So
absolutely.
I'm all ball all the time, so thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Roman.
Have a good one.
He is Roman Harper, Alabama alum, former All-SEC performer, SEC Network college football analyst, and, of course, he is a Hall of Famer with that Saints organization that he played with for multiple years in his career. Appreciate him carving out some time. If you see him at Memphis Touchdown Club tonight, I'm sure it will be phenomenal. It's a great conversation we just had with him. Of course, we'll post this up on the podcast here relatively soon. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We need a transition. And we need to get into the Blitz. And I have maybe not a fun Blitz topic, but a necessary Blitz topic to bring up to the one and only Connor Dunning. And if you know what the Red Sox did yesterday in trading Rafael Devers, you know that a legendary Connor Dunning rant may ensue. So we'll do that next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
2024 sack leader defensive end Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals have resumed contract talks. Hendrickson is still dug in on signing a long-term extension.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And he should get a long-term extension. I don't really understand this. Now, I think there's some reasons. I even highlighted him when I was talking about Micah Parsons on Friday. There's some reasons that would give you a little bit of hesitation if you're the Bengals. He's 30. He's crossing that 30 plateau. I mean, 2 years in a row of being the sack leader doesn't necessarily make you believe that after 30 he's going to continue on this path for another 4 or 5 years, which is the type of contract he wants. There is a couple of things. But I think that both sides can come together and find some type of deal in the range of 3 years, $90 to $100 million. I don't think, based on what I've heard, that Trey Hendrickson is asking to set the market and beat out Myles Garrett and that 4 year, $160 million deal with $40 million a year and $123 million guaranteed. I think he wants what he's worth. And he's worth a lot. You can't avoid that if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. He's earned this. He led the NFL in sacks in back-to-back seasons. He led the NFL in pressures above expectation at plus 16.6. He's second in pass rush win rate this past season. He played every game in the last 2 years and 70% of the defensive snaps. He's been a mainstay. And here's the thing that really does bother me. This is my prediction. I predict that the Cincinnati Bengals get this deal done with Trey Hendrickson, whatever that number is. But the problem you now face is the fact that he's been away from the team for a while. There's a new defensive coordinator. He has to get used to his role within that new defense. And he has not been on the field taking his lumps on a consistent basis. And how long does this take into training camp? Here's the thing that we have learned. When you have holdouts that long, sometimes injury could happen. He's been a guy who's been sort of an iron man for you, but the longer you wait and the amount of time he stays away from training camp and from minicamp, the more likely it is that he steps in there and does a little bit too much, and may those soft tissue injuries start to become a problem at that point. So, I think the Bengals have completely screwed this whole situation up. Pay the man what he deserves. Also, go sign Shamar Stewart. Your defense was horrid last year. That's the reason you missed the playoffs. You have to strengthen that defense and make some things happen. I mean, when we review what has happened this offseason, you've held out on Trey Hendrickson, not signed him. Shamar Stewart, your first-round pick, you took 17th overall. You don't have him out there. Your leading tackler from a year ago, and Jermaine Pratt, is now a Raider. He signed with the Raiders last week. They have completely devolved defensively. They have a new defensive coordinator, and they're expecting decent results, even though all of these things have happened in the past calendar year. They need to get real with themselves and start investing in the defensive side of the ball, and that starts with getting Trey Hendrickson back on the Cincinnati Bengals.
How, in terms of most important player on the Bengals, where do you think Hendrickson ranks? Is he third?
I'd go Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, then him.
Yeah.
And then you could put T. Higgins right after him. Mm-hmm. But as long as you have Ja'Marr Chase, I think that wide receiver room is taken care of. You can fill out the pieces. T. Higgins is a luxury piece. But yeah, I'd put him third. And what do all teams look for? Right? They look for edge rushers that can give you production. And he is the perfect example of that. You got him on a good deal the first time around. You got him 2 years in a row leading into this year, leading the NFL in sacks. He was top three in defensive player of the year voting last year. It's just like, I don't know. You have this illusion in your mind that he's not as important as he is. He's very important to your franchise. Very, very important. Without him, you don't have a consistent pressure getter on the quarterback. And then, if you don't get the deal done with him and you get a deal done with, like, Shamar Stewart, you're banking and putting all of your eggs into that basket that Shamar Stewart, who had 5 sacks at Texas A&M, is going to be able to turn it up once he gets into the National Football League. So he is very important, but I don't think the Bengals view it that way, which is wild. Because from the outside looking in, everybody can tell you that Trey Hendrickson is the top three most important piece for that Bengals team going forward.
If he re-signs to a long-term extension with the Bengals, do you think they're a playoff team?
They should be. I don't think they really have much of an excuse not to be. I still think they need to figure out that defense, but offensively, they should be more than good enough. They've tried to get that offensive line a little better. Still have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. T. Higgins is going to be healthy going into the year. Joe Burrow. Offensively, you should be able to pace your way into the playoffs as opposed to a year ago. And one thing that we have to hope that they get through their brain going into this season is start faster than you have since Joe Burrow has been in a Bengals uniform. You can't dig yourself that 0-2, 0-3, 1-4 hole like you have every year of his career.
Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever grabbed a heck of a win over the weekend. They beat the then undefeated New York Liberty 102-88 in Clark's first game back from the quad strain she suffered in May.
All right, I want to be fair. New York Liberty were missing two starters. But that doesn't change anything. That was an undefeated team. Caitlin Clark comes back and absolutely positively puts on a show. I watched that game cover to cover. That should tell you something. Ratings were down 55% when we talked this time last week because Caitlin Clark. And that was league-wide. She comes back, and I want to see the ratings on that game. I'm sure they're absolutely through the roof. They're astronomical. You had a really good team, a 9-0 Liberty team, versus Caitlin Clark in her first game back. And she didn't waste any time, Connor. Wasted no time. 32 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 7 for 14 from 3. She hit 5 threes in the first half. She was 5 for 7 then. She wasted zero time announcing her presence. And watching the second quarter especially. First quarter, ho-hum, she was pretty good. Second quarter, she had a stretch of basketball where she made 3 threes in a matter of 38 seconds. 9 points in 38 seconds. And these were not like the WNBA three-point line is 22 feet. These were from 31, 27, and 25 feet. Just ridiculous. I've watched women's basketball countless times. I have never seen something like that on the floor unless there's a number 22 either playing for Iowa or the Indiana Fever. She really is that big of a shining star. Did she have 7 turnovers? Yes. But I feel like when I watch her play, a lot of those come on her trying to get her teammates open, trying to throw them open. They either drop passes or she airmails it a little bit. She needs to hone that in to a certain extent. But we talk about her scoring and her three-point shooting all the time. What she does in throwing her teammates open and having just vision on the floor at all times, it is unreal to watch. It is awesome to see. She is a shining star for that WNBA brand, and they need to take advantage of it. They need to expand their horizons. We talked about that on Friday.
Yeah, when the highlights from that game look like Steph Curry. It really looks like Steph Curry, the way that she's shooting from the logo. And I hope the WNBA has realized during her absence that it's not just about maximizing Caitlin Clark. It's about maximizing the rest of the talent in this league. Like, yes. I feel like the WNBA had a really good weekend, and hopefully they can capitalize on that. Like, Angel Reese even had a triple-double.
She had a triple-double.
Which is a big deal for Angel Reese, but as long as you're not trying to put her up against Caitlin Clark and trying to make them villains for each other, if you can lift both of them up and lift up the rest of your stars that you have in the WNBA, they have a legitimate chance here to continue this boom that they've had, because it just feels like the last few months, it's been all negative stories about the WNBA. They need to get back on track to where it is the positivity for the WNBA, because these games are legitimately exciting. They are so much fun to watch that you have so many young stars in this league. You have the best players that they have ever had right now. You need to lift up everybody. And Caitlin Clark coming back and reminding the WNBA that this is the way that we need to market these games is hopefully going to wake up the people in charge.
And that performance, I don't know if you got to see the game in its entirety. You probably saw the highlights, Connor. But you have Rebecca Lobo, who's been covering the WNBA and women's college basketball forever. She was a star in her own right. She says she's never seen anything like that on a women's basketball floor. You have Brianna Stewart during the game when Caitlin Clark hit her 5th and final 3 of the first half. Brianna Stewart's just like smiling, like, what in the world am I supposed to do? We have seen that in the men's game and the NBA when it comes to Steph Curry. Sometimes you see the defender that is defending someone like that just like,
there's nothing you can do.
I can't
there's
do anything about it. There is nothing I can do about it. That's what she brings to the game. That's the excitement she brings to the game. But I still think you could use her to lift up other players and other pieces in the WNBA. And I think that Sabrina Ionescu, who was playing on the other side,
she was phenomenal.
She had 30-some-odd points. I think other people saw that, and she becomes a draw the more and more you market it that way. They just need to take it upon themselves, the WNBA, to market it that way, to expand their horizons, to expand to different players. Use Caitlin Clark to lift up the rest of your league. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's a TikTok going around right now of the Indiana Fever arena before and after Caitlin Clark. They're showing it in 2022.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's like maybe 1,000 people
it's
in that
nuts.
Building. Maybe 1,000 people.
And then you have sellouts of 18,000.
And now you have sellouts of tens of thousands of people. And the environment looks like an NBA playoff game. It is awesome what she has been able to bring to the Indiana Fever and the WNBA. And I truly hope that when she was out and they saw viewership drop by 50%, they recognize, oh, we are doing this completely wrong. It doesn't need to be this player versus, this player versus, this player versus. Just highlight all of the players. When you're doing this stupid thing, it's what bothers me about the discourse with the NBA right now, too. You don't have to tear down another player to build right. one up. Just build up all of your players. That's the way forward.
And just a reminder for those that are not familiar with this, there's only one player in WNBA history that has caused full franchises, when she's playing on the road, to switch arenas, switch venues, so right. they could fit in more players and get more revenue generated. That's Caitlin Clark. Use that to your advantage. All right, we have a rarity on the show. I have a blitz topic for Connor Dunning. His favorite team, Major League Baseball, is the Boston Red Sox. And the Boston Red Sox last night traded their star, third baseman, DH, first baseman, whatever he's been playing, Rafael Devers, to the San Francisco Giants for Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, James Tibbs, and Jose Bayo. And look at, you know, the past with the Red Sox. They have traded their star player to a West Coast team before. That was Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. Connor, let me just ask this. Are you okay? No, that's the answer.
I don't. It's a numb feeling. It's more of a, there is an anger involved. Like, I feel the anger of 1,000 suns because they did this stupid S again. 5 years ago when they traded Mookie Betts, who I thought was going to be in my life for the rest of my Red Sox, for the rest of his career. I thought he was going to be in my life. He was the person who was going to take the baton from David Ortiz to be my favorite player, to be the face of the franchise. Of course, it's going to be Mookie Betts. There's no question that it's going to be Mookie Betts, one of the best players in the MLB, arguably the best player in the MLB when he got traded. Yeah, he's going to be in my life for the rest of his Red Sox career. I cannot wait to see him grow and to see him eventually go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Red Sox hat. No! And then, thank God, when they traded Mookie Betts, I said, okay, we're going to have some dark years. That was a terrible trade, but they've learned their lessons from it. The people involved with that trade are no longer on the team. They're no longer involved with the team. That baton just got passed to Devers. Listen, Devers doesn't have the personality of Mookie Betts. He doesn't have the personality of Big Poppy, but he is a slugger. He likes being in Boston. He is a winning baseball player. He's already got a ring with the team. Okay, I can deal with this. This is going to be the guy. And then they asked him to play first base. And it got a little weird. And I was mad at Devers, but I was still like, you know what? It's still one of the best hitters in baseball. They gave him $300 million. They're going to figure it out. We got these three young players. Is this going to be the season for the Red Sox? No, but they're going to be plucky. They've won 8 out of 10. We swept the Yankees. Roman Anthony, the Roman Empire, has finally arrived in Boston. Vibes are higher than they have been the entire season. Devers started, he had a terrible beginning to the season, but now he's going crazy. He owns the Yankees. Owns them. Of course he's playing them on Father's Day because he is the Yankees' father. And then, Gabe, this isn't a joke. Thank God when I got the notification, do you know where I was? I was at a liquor store.
Good
Thank
timing.
God I was at
Good
a liquor
timing.
Store.
Shout out old Dom.
Because I immediately grabbed a bottle of bourbon and said, they did it again! What are we doing? You did it again? Okay, all right. I got a notification that said the Red Sox had traded Rafael Devers. All right, fine. Am I hurt? Yes. But to trade a guy like Devers, they have to be getting something good back, right? Right? And then I saw what they got back, and I grabbed another bottle of bourbon, because what are you talking about? They've already optioned one of them to AAA. They should have traded him for nothing. What are we doing? You're a half game back in the wild card. You finally got this team. Bregman's about to come back. You finally look like you might be able to make a playoff push. There's 85 games left in the season. If you don't like Devers, figure something out in the winter. And you didn't shop him? Is this how Mavericks fans feel? It's not as bad as Luka, but it's pretty damn close. You traded Devers on Father's Day for nothing. For terrible players. They suck. They suck. Giants fans were confused. They didn't understand how that happened. You didn't even get their best prospect. Why are we trading our best players to California for pennies on the dollar? I don't understand it. You've alienated the fan base for the second time in 5 years. Breslow, I hate you. I genuinely dislike this human being.
I get it.
The Red Sox ownership group does not care about winning baseball games anymore. They got four rings and said, we're good. We don't want to spend a ton of money. We're fine. Oh, we're going to put our foot on the gas. We care about winning now and more than we have in the last few years. So what does that mean? We're going to trade away our best player for terrible pitchers who have plus four ERAs as a career? That's who you trade Rafi Devers for? The most beloved Red Sox we've had in a long time? You traded him for nothing. Nothing.
Yep.
What's your plan now? You might as well go ahead and trade Mayer, Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony. You might as well go ahead and do it. Because we know as soon as they get good, as soon as you have to pay them, they're going to go, oh, do we want to pay these guys? I hate this team now.
I don't blame you.
This is a trade package that would have been disappointing if we had traded Duran. But it's for Devers. Giants fans are confused, and they're all like, now they're having the conversation about, oh, do we commit $300 million to a DH? Yes. Yes, you do. Because he's awesome. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to hit 1,000 balls into McCovey Cove.
Yes. He sure will.
It's going to be insane the amount of home runs he's going to hit for you. I cannot believe they did it again. 5 years ago, when they traded Mookie Betts, there was no way in hell. Devers has been with this team since he was 16 years old. Just because y'all had a disagreement and an argument, Breslow thinks he's Billy Bean. He must have watched Moneyball and just been like, oh, I have a great idea. We can replace him with three or four players. What? I am so upset. I'm so upset. I think an ant could run the Red Sox better than Breslow. An actual ant. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
This dumbass team, these dumbass owners, that dumbass GM. This team had won 8 of 10.
5 in a row.
You're about to be the healthiest you've been all season. You have a Cy Young candidate. Devers was playing some of the best baseball of his career recently. These three young guys are going crazy. And you trade your best player and the season's over. It's over.
Man, truthfully, I feel for you. I really do. The Red Sox were just hitting stride. Just called up Roman Anthony. He's playing well. 5 straight wins. And through an act of emotional GMing, is the way I'll put it, the Red Sox trade their best player. It was an emotional decision. That's what bothers me the most. It's not about baseball. Clearly not. You didn't make yourself better through the trade. It's not about some future that you think will be there with a bunch of prospects you got in return for Rafi Devers. The truth of the matter is he got into multiple spats with the front office, with ownership, with the team, and the people that make the decisions behind the scenes, the front office, the ownership. They felt emotionally hurt, so they ship off the redeeming quality they have on their roster right now. That's the thing that should bother Red Sox fans the most, is the fact that this was clearly just an emotional decision made through extreme hubris on behalf of the front office and the ownership of the Boston Red Sox.
When I say I hate this team, I mean I hate the management. And I hate the owners. I actually love the players. And Rafi had frustrated me this season. We've talked about it a few times.
Sure.
I was frustrated with him. And, you know, now we're getting some reports, which I'm not sure if I can fully believe, that he kind of wanted out and there was a rift. But I think that Devers is the type of player that you try to figure it out with. And if you are going to trade him, you
get
something back.
And also, again, by all sort of the understanding of the situation, by all the reports, they didn't shop him at all.
No.
It was just the Giants and the Red Sox talking about it.
It sounds like there was one more deal on the table, but ownership didn't want to have to eat Devers' salary at all, so they turned it down, which I have to assume that was a better deal if it made the Red Sox eat some of that salary. But Devers was on pace for this. Second most home runs in Red Sox history, behind only Ted Williams. Third most hits in Red Sox history, only behind Carl Yastrzemski and Ted Williams. Third most RBIs in Red Sox history, only behind Carl Yastrzemski and Ted Williams. He was a statue guy.
Yeah.
He was the type of guy that had already brought you a ring. He was supposed to be the Boston Red Sox Foundation moving forward. You signed him to that massive contract. It made sense to sign him to that massive contract. And now there are reports that the Red Sox might make another move. I've seen the Reese Hoskins is the type of guy they might gotta go after for first base. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think that's good enough. You can't trade away a bat like Devers and replace him with Hoskins and just be like, well, see, that's better.
It's not.
I think that Breslow, in his mind, thinks this is his Nomar Garciaparra move, and I just don't see that at all. Because in the past, the Red Sox have traded off guys, and they've been able to build a roster with contracts that make a little bit more sense, and they've been able to replicate players. But the two that they've tried to do that with, they tried to do that with Betts, and it did not work.
Right.
And then they're trying to do that again with Devers, but they got an even worse return for Devers than they got for Betts. And that's what's so confusing about it. They've already optioned one of these guys to AAA. The prospects don't... There's just nothing to be excited about right now if you're a Red Sox
fan. But here's my thing. It's like, Connor, I respect what you're trying to do. You're trying to, like, okay, what's the rationale?
I don't think there is any.
There is rationale, but it's all emotional rationale. And when you mix the emotions and business, I don't know if you ever end up in a very good spot. It was an emotional spur of the moment. I don't like this guy. Let's ship him off. Move.
If Devers and the Red Sox was over, like, let's say that relationship was
never going to get
better. And it couldn't get better. You let people know Devers is on the market, and you get something
in
return that makes sense. You get a bidding war going. There have been a lot of reports today that a lot of people within the Red Sox organization don't like Breslow, that he pushed out a ton of people that were making a lot of very smart decisions before he got there. We are just at a point where I don't think that Red Sox fans trust the management group, and they don't trust the ownership group at all, because for years now they just keep saying, oh, we're going to put our foot on the gas, and then they make moves like this, and then they promise, oh, well, this is going to give us flexibility to make some other moves and go get another big fish that isn't, you know, going to have to be $300 million over a decade. And I'm like, are you telling me that you're going to find somebody better than Rafi Devers? Is that what you're telling me? Because listen, I know he was terrible defensively. I get that. But as a DH, he was amazing. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. And this team was finally rolling. Were they going to really make noise this season?
Probably not.
But they could have built momentum to do something. And again, if the relationship with Devers was over, trade him in the offseason.
Yes.
Trade him in the winter when you have some actual leverage.
And there's a market people are actually gauging.
I can't believe they've done this. I can't believe they did it again. They did it again. And I truly think that the trust is gone. It's gone. The Red Sox fans do not trust this team.
I know.
And to be honest, the players deserve better.
I want to actually ask this question. What is genuinely worse, Luka Doncic or Rafi Devers?
Luka's way worse.
Okay. I don't know. I think, like, in baseball terms, I think this is pretty close. I truthfully do.
I think Luka is worse.
In both situations, there wasn't a bidding war. It was just sort of one team talking to one team. I do think the Luka one was made out of emotion. Same with the Rafi Devers thing. I don't know, man. I think it's closer than you think. I think it's closer to being worse than you think.
Here's the difference. I think the difference is one player in basketball impacts it way more than one player in baseball.
But,
and the saving grace for the Red Sox is you've got these three young guys that are your future. The thing that's so frustrating about this, though, is that Devers matched their timeline to some degree, and he was going to be there, too. What's really upsetting about this, too, is that this now makes it very likely that Bregman's going to opt out and won't want to come back, because there's nothing here. There's nothing here. It's a bunch of kids, Bregman and Trevor Story.
Right.
That's your team right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's frustrating about it, is that it's the saving grace for the Red Sox is that they do have really good young players. So all of this may not cause some crash out, but it's frustrating because Devers was a lifer type of guy.
Yeah.
And you traded him in secret for nothing.
Yes.
And then you tried to pretend as if it's some good move that's going to allow you to trade for bigger players, where I'm going to have to say, I'll believe it when I see it, because you've been telling us this for 5 years and it hasn't happened.
Well, but
your biggest move in 5 years was either Trevor Story or Bregman. Bregman has absolutely worked out when he was healthy.
Are they saying
Story
like we cleared that contract so we can give that to somebody else? Is that the idea behind Big Fish?
The idea
because
of it
they
is
didn't get
they
a return. They didn't get a return good enough to use any of those assets in a Big Fish.
The idea of it is that they have room now to go big fishing, big fish hunting. And I'm just like, I don't believe it
when I see it. All right, now make sure you get over to Old Dominic. This weekend they had some music. They had to buy your own old fashioned on Father's Day for all the fathers out there. It was $13. So you could have built your own old fashioned. You would have enjoyed it. But coming up this weekend, they'll have the Tiki Takeover over at 305 South Front Street. The Summer Solstice Cocktail Contest will be 6 to 9 p.m. Make sure you go enjoy that. Next Friday, they're going to have more events. They'll have music bingo. They'll have even more music from 6 to 9 p.m. So check out all of their wonderful...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sort of events over at olddominic.com. But go pick up a bottle of Old Dominic. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey. They have multiple award-winning selections of whiskey and bourbon. Just go pick the bottle of your choice. You can ship Old Dominic spirits anywhere in the United States of America. You're going to enjoy doing that. Go to olddominic.com to make sure you send that anywhere in the United States of America. Always remember that they are the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. Two bar locations inside FedEx Forum. So whether you're going for a concert, a Grizzlies game, a Tigers game, a comedian, there's going to be two bar locations by Old Dominic. So you can get a craft cocktail made by my good friends at Old Dominic. Old Dominic Distillery. Come say hi. Now we need to go ahead and rewind when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.